This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. Reese, our content agent, wrote the copy based on our best practices, like mentioning Monday.com 3 times. That was the second. Johnny, our coordination agent, built the timeline and kept everyone aligned. Olivia, our human creative director, stayed in the loop. Because agents are great, but they don't always know when a joke lands. She had one note: tell listeners it only takes minutes to build an agent. So, minutes. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
What's up, Foos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Corey Curtis to the program from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I am spectacular today. How are you guys? Is the studio still clean?
The studio, as far as I know, is still clean. Rex Road's in there today. I was traveling across the great eastern seaboard of the United States yesterday, so I'm from the house this morning.
I've been wiping it down in every break. Okay. Ian's been out there uprooting trees whenever he's had an opportunity. He's Johnny Appleseed of Cromwell Media.
Yep, team effort.
That's right. That's right. Well, Corey, just some awful news this morning. Chris Johnson went on Good Morning America and made the announcement that he has been diagnosed with ALS. Unfortunately, we are familiar with that in this city when it comes to Tim Shaw with the Tennessee Titans as well. But obviously, just horrific stuff there. And I just wonder kind of what your reaction is and any comments you may have on the Chris Johnson front.
Well, I mean, it's shocking and it's incredibly sad and devastating. And I just, you know, maybe because it's two Tennessee Titans now, it just feels like it's way too prevalent. And, you know, you hope, you know, that I guess you hope that these high profile cases renew the interest in people donating towards the research, because we know when Timmy came down with it and they had the ice bucket challenge, the amount of money that came in for ALS research was staggering compared to what they'd ever gotten, and it made a difference. You know, they were able to progress in some of their research with that. And, you know, it's also, you know, it's a cruel disease because it's not the same for everybody, you know, in the way it sets in, how quickly it sets in or how slow it, and it's just, you know, it's amazing to see guys who are peak human physical athlete. I mean, Chris Johnson, you know, one of the fastest people to ever set foot on the football field, and now he can't run. It's devastating. And, you know, just, again, for me, it's help them figure something out to help others.
Yeah, and to that point, no question, Corey. I mean, obviously there are a lot of insidious diseases, but I don't know. It's hard, you know, it's hard to find one much worse than ALS. And I feel like others, we've made progress maybe more with others. We did have a listener who actually mentioned his girlfriend works at Vanderbilt on ALS research, and the state gave Vanderbilt $11 million this year, according to Tom here on the text line, you know, for research on it. But and Tim Shaw has been, of course, integral there. I mean, I feel like, and maybe it's more because it's in this market and we see it, but I do feel like he has done a lot for it, certainly locally, getting people aware and involved. I would also think, Corey, that he'd be a good resource, right, obviously, for his former teammate here.
Yeah, and I know, I mean, Tim is, you know, in a position where he doesn't speak, you know, he uses the board. Right. And the wheelchair, but he still participates in Titans special teams meetings.
Yeah.
I mean, and I know he was also renovating historic homes in the Nashville area, you know, even after he lost his ability to speak really. And so he has found a way to keep going. And, you know, I knew Tim pretty well when he was a player, and, you know, he was a pretty driven guy then. I still remember the way that all went down, because he was in our studio doing stuff with me, and then, like, he didn't make the team the next year, and because they couldn't figure out why he had slowed down so much. And then they found out that he had ALS, and it was devastating. But, you know, he's still alive, and he's still functioning, and he's still staying active as he can, and mentally engaged. And, you know, we'll see how CJ does. You know, CJ was, you know, always a different guy, but I would say always a positive guy as well. And we'll see, you know, what his attitude is towards attacking this.
Well, I think back, you know, when you look back at the entirety of the Titans, Corey, I mean, they've had, you know, several guys that were fun to watch, right? Like McNair at his height was a lot of fun to watch. Obviously, Derrick Henry, a lot of fun to watch. You know, I think Chris Johnson at his peak may have been the most exciting, just from the standpoint of, like, it felt like there was a ticking time bomb back there that could break off an 85-yarder at any point, just with how fast he was.
I would say it's not even close. I mean, you know, obviously Derek has a lot of long runs and was incredible in the way he did it. But when I watched Chris Johnson those first couple of years, I would tell everybody, when I would talk to the media for the other teams who they were going to play for the first time, they were going to see CJ for the first time, I said, he will probably go 80 against you because your guys won't know the proper pursuit angles against him.
Right.
And that's what happened, is people took angles on him and he just blew right by it. I mean, he had a game against the Texans that is still down there in history where it just seemed like he was running all day. And, you know, the instant acceleration was absolutely incredible. And I always make this comparison when I talk about guys with speed. There are certain guys who are so fast, it looks like their feet never touch the ground.
Yeah.
And he is one of those guys.
So someone texted, you know, Corey earlier about Chris, you know, and the Ring of Honor. And I don't think you do something like that, like as a response to something like this. But I think he was someone that we've talked about before about that. What do you think about him in the Titans Ring of Honor?
Well, I mean, Terrell Davis is in the Hall of Fame after 5 years. Al Sayers is in the Hall of Fame after, wasn't it 5 years as well?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. His duration was not long, but it was spectacular. And he does have a 2,000-yard season to his credit. And he does have an All-Pro, I believe, to his credit that year. And so I could see him being in there. I mean, I am not disparaging Frank Wycheck. He absolutely deserves to be in the Ring of Honor. But you know, he didn't put up numbers. I know he's a tight end, but he was not the force that Chris Johnson was, you know, for the Titans. And you could argue, you know, Eddie George, when he was here, as good and as strong and as dominant as much as he carried the load for this team, you know, he was not the lightning rod for the offense that Chris Johnson was. I mean, I don't know if you remember who the receivers were for those Titans team. It wasn't great. All right. Was Nate one of their guys, or did they pick up him along the way?
I'm trying to remember when Nate came in.
Or was it just like Justin Gage and, you know, some other guys, but just the McCarrans,
right.
But CJ, I mean, they had LG Crumpler. But CJ was, I mean, it, I mean, you know, when the Titans started 0-6 or 0-8,
think it was 0-6.
0-6. I mean, that's when Jeff Fisher changed the plan of the season and just said, we're going to get CJ to 2,000 yards. And it turned the season around. It turned the season. They almost made the playoffs.
Yeah.
And so he was a force that no one could stop for a while. And I would have no problem putting him in the Ring of Honor. And I know you say to not do it because of his physical condition. I agree with that, but I also agree do it now before we lose him because you don't know how long we'll have him.
Right. Well, transitioning from that, Corey, I do want to get your thoughts on Pekka Rinne and the Hall of Fame that happened like a week ago after we had you on the show. But Pekka getting in the Hall of Fame, just your thoughts on that. And now that you've got Shea Weber and Pekka Rinne in the Hall of Fame, kind of the significance of that for the franchise.
Well, you know, it's funny because we were having the discussion about the statue and there was some hemming and hawing of, you know, what makes a person worthy. Well, he's won every major award you can win now, really. And so, look, you can't tell the story of the Nashville Predators without him. And in the entire NHL, he was an elite goaltender for a decade. I mean, if you go back and look at his numbers, he has some years that are just off the charts. And I don't know if I said this last week or not, but, you know, one of the reasons, you know, that we pick apart UC Saros sometimes is because of the bar that Pekka Rinne set, and that Pekka stole games. He won games by himself, practically. Games they had no business winning, you know, they won 2-1 because they just couldn't get anything by him. You know, the person is spectacular. I'm so glad he's still a part of the organization. You know, he's very important to the fans that are there. I didn't know that he would get in as quickly, you know, as he did. You know, playing in Nashville matters. Unfortunately, we've seen that over and over and over again. And so to see those two guys, you know, get in there is great. You know, and you see the players he got in there with. It's great. And so, you know, really, really, really happy for him, happy for the organization. They can hang another banner.
Oh, there you go. Speaking of banners, which I think they do banners in soccer, are we winning the World Cup, Corey? Are we winning the World Cup?
You and I and Robbie, no.
But you, do you say we when you talk about USMNT? Do you say we?
No. Oh. No, I don't. I say the United States of the red, white, and blue.
I've decided to take the plunge and say we rest of the tournament.
I mean, I probably would say our team. I think it's just one of those things that's ingrained in me. You know what I mean?
From just doing it
for so long. Because the fans all want me to consider the Titans a we.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, you know, look, but we are all Americans without question. And so, you know, that's definitely where the reporting interest comes in.
And we not ass.
I just don't see it. Yeah, no, our team is very good.
That's right.
What's his name? The legendary coach. I saw the interview with him on ESPN yesterday.
Pochettino?
Pep. He was saying without question, easily the best American team ever.
Yeah.
You know, just from a talent point of view, pointing out all the players who played overseas being something that we have not had before. But I think we should beat Bosnia. But even after that, it gets tough. You know, because it's most likely Belgium. Belgium's ranked ahead of us. Belgium's good, and then you got to win what, three more after that against teams that are even better. So if they could make it to the round of eight, I think it would be really spectacular for American soccer. If they made it to the round of four, it would be legendary. And if they won the whole thing, it would be akin to the Miracle on Ice.
That's the second time it's been brought up.
Yes,
today. I like that.
But I like, agree. It takes all those wins to start to add up to that one.
Yeah,
for sure. They have made a Miracle on Ice commercial with it. Have you seen the Aruzio commercial?
Yeah, Yeah, I did.
I think I enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Corey, thank you, sir, for being with us this morning. We appreciate your time, as always. Happy 4th of July to you, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Hey, everybody be safe. All right. I love blowing stuff up as much as everybody else, but just don't be stupid. I see a lot of stupid out there sometimes, and, you know, if you're handling ordnance of any kind, please be careful.
Yes, that is very well said. Very well said. Corey Curtis with us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program from News T. We'll take your thoughts at 615-737-1025. React to what Corey had to say coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game, presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Property managers, if you manage it, they maintain it. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Appreciate Corey Curtis from News 2 for being with us in the last segment. If you missed it, the news of the day, former Titans running back Chris Johnson has revealed that he has been diagnosed with ALS, and that happened this morning on Good Morning America on ABC. He sat down with Michael Strahan. And revealed that he'd been diagnosed with ALS last year. The disease has spread rapidly. Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com has put together a piece on the Titans website as well, talking about CJ now using his eyes to trigger a speech-generating device to speak. Obviously, there's a lot of research that has been done on the ALS front, but more still needed, and that was a lot of what Chris Johnson had to talk about when it came to his ALS diagnosis this morning, was trying to get more work done on that front and trying to become an advocate for ALS. But just it's just horrible, Jeff, just to see, you know, somebody, anybody get diagnosed with that disease. But particularly when you're talking about somebody who's 40 years old, just really sad to see Chris Johnson and to hear him announce this morning that he has been diagnosed with ALS.
That's absolutely awful. Credit to him for doing this the way he did it. Credit to him for fighting it. He's got an incredible ally in his former teammate, Tim Shaw. It's just for people who don't know much about ALS, it's an insidious, terrible disease, and so much work needs to be done on it. I'm going to read this from Batter's Box Mike, who says, "My father was diagnosed with ALS in February of 2021, passed away March 19, 2023. In a two-year span, the disease formed brain cancer, lung cancer, and colon cancer. It's a horrible disease. Side note, the last Titans home game my father and I attended together, CJ was starting running back."
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool stuff from Batter's Box. Mike, appreciate you sharing that with us. Like, yeah, I mean, we've had a lot of people kind of bringing up some CJ memories today. And I would agree with Corey, like, you know, on the field. I mean, they've had some great players, right? Like, Derrick Henry was a great player. Derrick Henry to me is probably, I mean, I don't even know if it's really arguable. Derrick Henry is the greatest running back they've ever had. He's one of the greatest players they've ever had. You know, McNair won a co-MVP and like some of the things that McNair would do on the field in clutch situations. I mean, you're talking about quarterback and, you know, the toughness that he displayed. I mean, it was a lot of fun to watch. I think Chris Johnson was like definitely the most fun player they've ever had to watch, just because, and it was like a firework back there. Like, you never knew when he was just going to take one and just absolutely house it. And I think the point that Corey brought up, Joe, of like when you were playing against him for the first time, people had no idea how fast he was. Like, you could watch it on tape, and then you have to actually go play against it. And some of the angles people would just be totally off on because they underestimated just how fast he was out there.
Yeah, I mean, of straight just home run hitters at running back in the NFL at large, yeah, like he's up there in that. It was a you know, short window compared to some people. Although for the running back position, that's what it is. Like with a lot of guys, it's a short window. Yeah, thinking about it from an out of market perspective, because I've talked about this before, but like those McNair teams, I think a lot of people were sort of casual fans of those teams because of McNair, because of Eddie George. The freak, the newness of like Nashville having a team and just watching the atmosphere on TV. But, you know, there aren't too many. Vince Young for a brief time period. But before I got to this market, you know, there weren't too many people where you're like, I want to see these Titans highlights. Like, you know, I look for, like, I want to see what happened. This, when he was doing his thing, it was like, it's not the same, because like Barry Sanders, you know, the moves and everything like that, like he was kind of unique, but
yeah.
Same sort of idea of like, oh my gosh, I got to see, I know this guy did something ridiculous. I don't want to miss the ridiculous thing this guy did. Because he probably did it. Like, I mean, think about like Michael Vick when he had his run, you know, early in his career, and some of the runs he had, or some of the home run hitters in this league. I mean, he was special. There's no question about it. And yeah, I mean, it's a great point by Corey earlier on when you talk about the Ring of Honor. You know,
yeah.
Some people have different things about it. It was a short stretch. But he's right, like Terrell Davis, Pro Football Hall of Fame. And it's really on the strength of two rings and a very short time period with tremendous seasons. But if you look at it that way, I mean, kind of a no-brainer, right?
Well, if you're talking about like just like Ring of Honor stuff, like, I mean, the guy ran for 2,000 yards in a season. I mean, I'm not saying that automatically puts you in the Titans Ring of Honor, or it should, but I mean – it's pretty close.
Very
right?
few people have done that yeah, in the history of the league.
Very few people in the history of the game have done that.
Yeah, two for this franchise. I mean, this franchise, when it comes to running back history, it's pretty special. But, yeah, like that season alone, I think absolutely merits that consideration.
Well, and by the way, he still holds the NFL single-season record for yards from scrimmage. Like, he's that year he ran for 2,000 yards. He had 2,509 yards from scrimmage. Had 503 yards receiving that year, too. So you're talking like, I mean, McCaffrey came close a few years ago to breaking it. Marshall Faulk back in 99 with the Rams had 2,429. But he still holds the single-season yards from scrimmage record.
That's that means something. I mean, you think about – because I think about Marshall Faulk, and it's like I felt like he was a guy who could almost give you 1,000 on each, you know,
yeah.
type thing. I mean, that's special to still have that, 16 years later?
Yeah.
Am I doing my math correctly? 18 years later? 18 years
that's
later.
That's 17 now, yeah.
Okay, 17.
It was 2009 when he did that.
It was the
2009
yeah. season where he did that.
Yeah.
That's big time. So, I mean, it's terrible, terrible news for a great player. I mean, ESPN was just showing, you know, some of the video of the interview and how, you know, again, he's using this technology yeah. with his eyes to speak and things like that. And, of course, you know, Tim Shaw knows all about that. And so we've had some people on the text line today with some personal stories, but also with some information about people who are developing things. And, you know, that's what when you go on and do something like he did, which can't be easy, and a lot of people would not want to do that, you hope that there's – a big positive impact because of it.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We will continue to take your thoughts on Chris Johnson revealing that he has been diagnosed with ALS. We'll take your thoughts on U.S. men's national team and the World Cup. All that more coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. I got some tickets to give away. A 4-pack of tickets to the Bruschetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix at the Nashville Super Speedway coming up on Saturday, July the 18th and Sunday, July the 19th. The caller number 3-615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a 4-pack of tickets to the Bruschetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix coming up at the Super Speedway on July 18th. And July 19th. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Joe, quick update. Victor Hovland has won the Travelers Championship after Scheffler missed about a 4-foot putt. Very, very upsetting.
I'm sorry.
Very upsetting.
I'm also, it's spoiler alert because I was taping it, but
whatever. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you know,
it's okay.
You still get home and watch it. It's just one hole, you know.
One hole
playoff.
I'm going to watch the whole tournament back, you know, front to back anyway. So hopefully I'll forget by the time I get to the end what happened.
A little bit of film study there.
Yeah.
A lot of your thoughts rolling in on Chris Johnson. Ethan from Lawrenceburg says CJ2K was better than 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Eddie George. Somebody asking about when McCaffrey came close. It was 2019 with the Panthers.
Okay.
McCaffrey had 2,392 yards. Chris Johnson's record is 2,509 in 2009.
Yeah. I mean, that's a heck of a record, man. I did not know that. until you just said that. So,
well, and especially like in today's,
more people need to know that.
Well, in today's day and age, like, is anybody going to approach it again? Like, actually, you know, Bijan just came pretty close this last year. I mean, close, relatively speaking. He had 22.98, which is 12th all time. But, you know, with the Falcons this past year, it's 12th all time, almost 2,300 yards. But even then, you're talking a full 200 yards short at that point. So, I don't know. Like, with the way that running back is used now and, like, how few guys run for that many yards anymore, like, I wonder how long this record could stand.
Yeah, it's interesting. They have the extra game now. So, yep. you have that. You know, some teams have the star clear, you know, bell cow running back. So, it's possible. I wouldn't be surprised if people get close here and there, and it wouldn't be shocking if it gets broken. But like you said, there are fewer opportunities because I think more teams really trying to split that workload. So the fact that it's lasted this long, I mean, that's awfully impressive. And again, there's that, and then there's also just the excitement of watching him, you know?
Yeah.
One of the certainly, like, yeah, what Ethan's comment on Eddie George. Yeah, I mean, Eddie George is still a great player, fun to watch, and he was an incredible leader, face of the franchise type guy, all that stuff, you know. But
completely,
yeah,
different style.
Yeah, right. And I think, you know, Derrick Henry was kind of must-see. I think he still kind of is must-see. I mean, you know, but just the absolute electric lightning, you could house it at any time.
Yeah.
Again, there aren't that many guys who were as scary as he was when he was at his best.
Yeah, and it's people talking about whether or not the football stuff has anything to do with the ALS diagnosis. I have no idea, but I don't think anybody really knows. Like, that's the scary part of it, and it is, you know, when you think about ALS and the impact that it's had here locally, like, it's incredible in a very bad way that it's now the second time that the Titans are dealing with something like this too. Like, Amy Adams Strunk has just put out a statement about Chris Johnson and talking about how the organization is going to support him fully during this time. But like, to think of Tim Shaw and Chris Johnson in a not that, you know, it's not that long of a time span in the grand scheme of things where you've had two of these, I mean, they were teammates. Yeah. I mean, two of these diagnoses, it's unbelievable.
No, it really is. And, yeah, look, I mean, any neurological disease for people who played football like this with the contact involved when you get all the way to the NFL, of course you're going to think about that. But, there's also all kinds of different people get diagnosed with ALS. So,
yeah.
It's just there's so much more information, research needed on this disease, on CT, you know, and concussions and the brain in general.
Yeah, for sure. I'm looking at this top five list of the scrimmage yards. Chris Johnson at number one, Falk at two, McCaffrey at three, Tiki Barber at number four in 2005. I would not have pegged him for the top five in the all-time yards from scrimmage list, but heck of a season for Tiki Barber in 2005.
I wouldn't have either. But he was. That's the thing. Sometimes on those lists, you can get the good running back, but really utilizing the passing game, right? And that's why, yeah, like, if you asked me who had that record, I probably would have said either McCaffrey or Falk.
Yeah,
you know, they come to mind just because they have been so utilized in the passing game. So, really pretty.
I was trying to see where Derrick Henry came in on this. So 2020, obviously, he ran
with
for
his
over 2,000 yards.
27 receiving yards to go with his.
Yeah, he's at number 40 all time at 21-41. Not a whole lot of involvement in the passing game from Derrick Henry that year.
And what was the rushing total that year?
So the rushing total for Derrick Henry in 2020 was 2,027.
Okay. Got it. So, yeah, let me throw in another 100 bucks. 100 bucks. 100 yards of receiving, yeah.
Is that the same year where, like, they just tried screen passes with him and it just didn't work?
Well, yeah, because in 2019, they opened that game in Cleveland with that Arthur Smith throwback screen, and he houses it. And he probably had, probably four or five more big plays on that play that year. And then by 2020, it was like, the throwback screen's not working anymore, guys. You know, they kept trying it. They tried some variations on it too, but for a minute there, when you get the whole flow going with him, like it's an outside zone going right, and then he leaks out. I mean, and you give him that much space, that was scary for defenses. But
I'm waiting on some offensive coordinator that has Derrick Henry at his disposal to use the wheel route at some point. Just let him go up and high point the ball. Hasn't happened yet.
I mean, I seriously want to see it. When he gets going with a full head of steam, he's still extremely fast. And who's boxing him out?
Nobody.
I mean, the guy, you know, he obviously doesn't have, I mean, what someone said he had like Edward Scissorhands hands early in his career. But like,
how do we know?
Not bad. Well, he's caught the ball.
Yeah.
He's not a route runner. But the wheel route is, I mean,
out and up, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Just sprint. No, if it doesn't get tried before his career is over, it's a crime against football.
It is like his last year with the Titans. He caught, let's see here. He caught 33 balls. Yeah. 33 balls last year with the Titans.
Yeah, it's not nothing.
Actually, second to last year, 33 balls and then 28 balls. He's only caught season high in Baltimore is 19, so they're not throwing him the ball enough in Baltimore.
No.
That's what I'm taking away from this conversation.
Yeah, and again, even if you don't normally involve him, just try that one time. Dennis on the text line says, when the rumor started last night, I was telling my son about when CJ was drafted, and a lot of us fans were like, a running back from ECU? And then I went to a preseason game against the Rams. CJ took off. You knew he was special.
Yeah.
I've heard people talk about that preseason game where it was like, he just had one run where it was like, what?
Oh.
Who the heck is this guy?
Yeah, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. They handed him the ball like one time, and he took off running. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, that's cool. I'm good with that first round pick. Like it was, yeah, you know, in a league where you're talking about, you know, some of the best athletes in the world that are all to some degree fast, right? Like, I mean, even the slow guys in the NFL, if it's just like compared to you and me, they're fast guys. But like when you're in that sort of a league and you make everyone else around you look slow, that's when you know it's different. And it was like you watched Chris Johnson carry the ball one time with any sort of head of speed, and you're like, oh, my goodness, it just looks different.
Yeah. Like I'm trying to think of who else. I think that was true of Michael Vick in his early years when he would take – it's like he could absolutely house it at any time and everybody looks like they're standing still. DeSean Jackson.
Yep.
DeSean Jackson first.
I mean, Tyreek Hill for sure.
Tyreek Hill, obviously. Devin Hester, I think, too, as a returner. Yep. It's sometimes with returners, it can be maybe exaggerated a little bit because, you know, you break through. Some of it is just fearlessness and a feel. But still, like, that was electric speed. But, yeah, I mean, like, it's a – you don't even always necessarily have a guy like that at a particular time in the NFL.
No.
You know?
No.
You really don't. I'd love to know what I don't remember what was his best 40 time. Did anybody remember?
I think it was 4.24.
Yeah,
4.24.
I think it was 4.24.
Okay, yeah, 4.24 is pretty good. Rocket.
I think
Ismail,
he had the record for a good minute.
Rocket
a
long Ismail time. Was like a 4.18.
Yeah,
or something like that. Yeah, that's absurd speed.
Yeah, it was 4.24 is what he ran at the combine. So it's pretty ridiculous. So, I mean, very sad stuff. And again, you know, more stories coming out and more information coming out on the Chris Johnson front, and we'll keep you updated on that. As far as the Ring of Honor is gone, or it goes, like, you know, he's going to get in there at some point. I've kind of, the more I think about it, Joe, the more I'm kind of on Corey's side of, well, let's just do it then. Like, you know what? If he's going to get in there, like, I think we all know he's going to get in there at some point. So let's just do it, right?
Yeah, this has got to accelerate it. And, you know, you don't want to, you know, like Amy Adams Strong puts out a statement. It's not like you're going to immediately. But, yeah, you would think that it would make sense to whatever the order was, wherever they were on who – because, you know, they've been honoring Oilers guys. There's a lot to it. But I think you have to mix up the deck if it wasn't going to be real soon and accelerate it.
Right. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. We will wrap up the show coming up next. Thoughts on the Predators with NHL free agency coming up. Plus, an announcement from yours truly. We will get into all that. Robbie and Rexrow, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game, final segment of the day. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Joe, a quick announcement here on the program. For those of you who may or may not know this, I have worked for NHL.com for on and off the last, I guess, decade plus. My first season with NHL.com was 2014-15. So Peter Laviolette's first season covering the Nashville Predators, and I've covered the team longer than that. But,
exciting year,
yeah, exciting year for my debut. And I took a couple year hiatus back a little bit after we first started the radio show where John Glennon was doing NHL.com, but have been on and off with them for the last decade plus. Have enjoyed it very much. I'm very thankful to those people. I am stepping away from NHL.com duties. I got some other stuff going on. With church and other things and just doing some different things that will be occupying my time. So stepping away from NHL.com. So I know that some announcements were made on that front this weekend about kind of what the future of that's going to look like. I had a couple people reach out to me about it. So I wanted to just go ahead and throw that out there that I will be stepping away from NHL.com. Very thankful for my time there. And I wish Russell Venosi the best, who is stepping in as the next NHL.com beat writer for the Nashville Predators.
Congrats to Russell. It's a loss for them in terms of losing you. When you say stepping away, I don't like hearing, I'm stepping away. You're going to freak people out here. You're not stepping away from us.
No, I'm still in the radio program.
Yes, still in the program. But, yeah, congrats to Russell, and it's been a heck of a run for sure. I mean, you are one of the trusted voices going way, way back on the Nashville Predators, and we'll continue to be that.
We'll continue to be that. But appreciate the kind words out there. And again, wish all the people at NHL.com the best moving forward. Speaking of, going to be an interesting week here for the Nashville Predators, Joe. You've got free agency coming up later this week on Wednesday. You've got the NHL draft that just took place, some trades still going around over the NHL, some rumors out there, what's going to happen with Zach Werenski. We will get a little bit more in detail, Joe, later this week when it comes to potential free agent targets for the Nashville Predators. There's not a ton out there on the free agency front, but you have a lot of stuff going on right now in the National Hockey League. They did have the draft this weekend. Wyatt Cullen, son of Matt Cullen, selected at number 10 overall by the Nashville Predators. They trade back into the first round and get a right shot defenseman as well. So a couple first-round picks for the Predators. But it was cool. It did make me feel old, speaking of the NHL.com stuff, Joe. Like, I remember at the early part of that, Wyatt Cullen walking around the arena as a child, and now he has been drafted by the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, yeah, man. It's just gonna get worse in that regard, too, you know? Like, I feel like I'm, like, closing in on covering some grandchildren of people that I am seeing grandchildren of people I covered who are, like, becoming prominent athletes. But, yeah, good. I think, you know, good to get a skilled winger. You hope that someday down the line you're hearing about, you're hearing about Brady Martin setting up Wyatt Cullen for goals, and that he's going to be one of those guys who's going to be a top six forward for this franchise. They need to, with these picks, they're going to draft forwards. They need a top six in years to come that can be competitive and be competitive at the top of the league. And so you hope that he's going to be one of those key pieces, just like Brady Martin from a year ago. And Matthew Wood, as he elevates, and you hope that he keeps coming and improving and entrenching himself.
A lot of people I've learned today, Joe, upset with Corey Pronman with his draft grade that he gave the Predators, which was a C+.
Yeah.
Apparently others around the league a little bit more friendly when it comes to the Predators and the draft grade, but C+ from Corey Pronman. He is not a popular man on our text line right now.
Yeah, people are after. Now, as I mentioned, Scott Wheeler counted the Preds among his winners. He did a winners and losers and had the Preds among his winners, and in particular loved the Cullen pick. But, look, if you, for the most part, if you are a fan of a professional sports team, most years, most draft, you can find someone to give your team an A on a draft.
Sure, yeah.
Now, maybe not Jags fans this year. Yeah, you know, I don't know. Maybe everybody gave them an F. Maybe even somebody in Jacksonville gave them an A, right?
I mean, if you're a Titans fan, you remember when your general manager drafted people, and apparently every GM in the league called him in the immediate aftermath of the pick and just said, hey, that was our guy, man. You took him.
Oh, my gosh. Every single one of your picks is amazing. And
you
that's who
every
we
coach
wanted.
You wanted to hire, and you picked every player you wanted to pick, and you won three games. It's amazing.
Yeah. You also remember, like I remember, the 2019 Titans draft, by the way, which at time, I bet you if you went back, you would not have A's across the board on that draft.
There are people that hated the Simmons pick when they made that.
Yes. And of course, that was one of the all-time great Titans drafts. And the immediate reaction was not that. It was not total celebration. You know, a lot of guys in that draft who end up being key players, you just didn't know they would be. I mean, A.J. Brown was probably the one everybody was like, oh, that's pretty good in the second round, you know. But,
yeah.
But I mean, other than that, it wasn't a widely celebrated draft, and we saw how it turned out. And we saw how drafts right after that turned out, too. That probably had some pretty good – I bet you can find an A for like the 20 or 21 somewhere in the NFL, you know, stratosphere. You can find an A for the 20 or 21 Titans draft. So it's fine, you know. You said it earlier, Robbie. In particular, in this league, in the NHL,
yeah.
Man, talk about an inexact science. It's
good
beyond
that. Yeah, it's a very imperfect practice when you're talking about, you know, 17 and 18 year olds that you're trying to give a draft grade to. So just keep that in mind when you're discussing all the draft grade stuff. We mentioned Zach Werenski earlier in the show. It looks like he could be traded from Columbus. Has basically told the Blue Jackets, hey, yeah, it's pretty unlikely I'll be signing an extension with you here in a couple of years. So discussing whether or not it would make sense for the Predators to kick the tires on a 28-year-old Norris Trophy winning defenseman. I will say, Joe, I'm reading a piece at The Athletic to continue to allow people the opportunity to bash your coworkers today.
Sure.
Of potential destinations for Zach Werenski that Shayna Goldman and Aaron Portsline have put together.
Mm-hmm.
They list eight teams, and the Nashville Predators are not one of those teams.
Okay.
So just throw that out there.
Well, this is, you know, the Preds, here we are in this era of player autonomy, and they're out there making things happen. Well, get good. Get good, and you'll be on those lists, because I promise you that where you are is an asset for you. So show some signs of, okay, we have some young players here. We have a young core that actually has a chance in the future, and I promise you, you'll be on those lists.
Yeah, for sure. Like, easier said than done,
but that's what you have to do.
It's easier said than done, but we've talked about this. There's no reason the Predators should not be in the same discussions of your, you know, your Floridas and your Tampas and your Vegases and your Dallases of, like, they have a lot of the same advantages that those places have. Not all of them, but a lot of the same advantages that those places have. I mean, the bottom line is, I think players are looking around at the Predators right now and they don't think they can win and don't really think they're on the cusp of winning. Well, if you change that and you get to a place where you feel like you are on the cusp of winning, I think you'll start to see the desirability of wanting to play here go up pretty significantly.
Absolutely. Real quick on the YouTube chat, I just need to address this because I'll forget about it. Don't Leave It Short says, I think Floyd Reese was helping J-Rod the first couple years in the draft. Yeah, I don't think Floyd Reese was like – J-Rob was texting him on the side, like, what should we do? I think Floyd Reese was a good overall mentor, and yep. I think a factor in his in him getting hired here. But yeah, I don't. John Robinson and that staff did a great job the first few years, and then not so much after that. I don't think it was, you know, it was someone outside the building who you'd be talking about.
Busy program today. Appreciate you all for being with us throughout the program today. We will be back at it tomorrow at 6 a.m. Hope everybody has a great day today. Stay cool. Going to be hot outside this week. Next Man Up with Jake Lyman is coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5 The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.